Lord Jesus, we come to you now, God. Lord, at this time, we open your precious word. God, it's the most precious thing there is, this side of eternity, with your Spirit anointing it, Lord. God, I know that we're not even worthy to open the book and look at it. It's so sacred, and we look at what it cost us to have the book. What it cost, Jesus died for us. Then there's the great servant of Paul. He gave his life for it. Peter likewise. And Stephen stoned to death, calling on the name of the Lord. Lord, can we do any less in this hour for the kingdom of God? Can we do any less than to give ourselves wholly unto Thee for Thy service? Oh God, bless the word as we read tonight, God, in the hearing of the people. And may, Lord, you just quicken it to us, Lord, as we stand here just a helpless vessel. But we are looking to a source that has never failed us before. And we ask that you help us now as we endeavor to read and speak of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to take a thought tonight. The God that has spoken in the past speaks again. The God that has spoken in the past now speaks again. And I want to read here in the, starting in the Revelation 10, verse 1. It reads like this. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Now I want you to notice this mighty angel. We'll show you who it is by the reading of the verse. Clothed with a cloud, or surrounded in a cloud, which means no one sees him unless you've got that vision to see through the cloud. Revelation of who it is, what it is. He's surrounded in the cloud just like he was when he came the first time. Only very few of the millions of people saw and knew who he was. At Pentecost, only 120, after 3.5 years of preaching, saw who he was and knew that this was the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he comes clothed in a cloud. And then it says here to identify and be sure that we know who he's talking about. It says, and his face was as it was the sun, and his feet as pillows of fire. Now we read in the first chapter and chapters 1, 2, and 3, where it deals with the church, each one of these attributes identified, it's Christ. And he said here, he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. Now this verse 2 is a very important verse of him setting his right foot upon the sea. And sees multitudes of people and so on. It has to do with the Mideast, his first coming. Amen. He came first, and then his left foot on the earth. That earth is the western country, unpopulated area. Amen. Like he came what year was 1963 when he came? Seven angels came to Arizona, God's prophet there. Amen. And the face of the Lord was taken in the picture. Life magazine carried the story. It's a July 18th edition, I believe. What is this mysterious cloud that went up? Seven angels came and spoke and talked to the prophet of God. So he put one foot on land, one foot on sea, one foot on land. Now we've got a 2,000-year space between those two legs of his coming. And the little book is open in his hand. Now Paul spoke of you as being the book. He spoke of you as being the word. He spoke and said, ye are written epistles, read of all men. This is in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. He speaks of you being the word. And he says in the sixth verse, says the letter killeth, but it's the Spirit that gives life. And he says there that we're made able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter of the word, but of the Spirit. So the early church and the early preaching were all done by the Holy Ghost, and they didn't have a handbook to go by. As to New Testament, it had to come fresh from the throne of God as the ministry that God ordained brought revelated word to the church. And it wasn't always reading a scripture. It wasn't getting a concordance and getting all your scripture together and get up and give a speech from reading from the concordance and lining all your scripture up, 1, 2, 3. It was men of God that stepped out with answers from the Lord. In Colossians, the first chapter, verses 24 and 25 there, Paul speaks of the suffering, the suffering of Christ is made up in my body as I suffer for the church. And there was a people that was led by the Holy Ghost, alive, living, spirit, ministry, word among the people that could raise the dead. Peter being called over to Joppa. There was a lady that's been dead for, the Bible don't say how many days or whatever, but she dead and dead laid her out. And Peter, when they sent for Peter, and he went up and he looked, and they was showing Peter all the clothes she'd made and what she'd done, and she was such a good woman. And Peter came, he saw unbelief, and he put them forth, the Bible says. And he reached down to a woman that was dead and says, Dorcas. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw it was Peter, she rose, and Peter presented her alive. That's what the little book is. It's a living Word of God. Hallelujah. That's here now. Amen. That's right here in our midst tonight to do exactly the same thing. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ask or even think. Hallelujah. Amen. The God that spoke once is speaking again. Hallelujah. So the little book was open among the people. Hallelujah. Christ was open among the people. And the church was the Word. It wasn't the Bible. The church was the Word. Hallelujah. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. When Christ came, God was manifested in Christ. Hallelujah. All that God was, He poured into Christ. And when Christ ascended on high, all that Christ was, He poured into the church. And He said, these works that I do, and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. And they went forth doing the greater works, more works. Hallelujah. Well, that's the open book. Amen. His face shined like the sun when Peter walked down the streets of Jerusalem. And they brought the sick and the lame and laid in the streets. And when Peter's shadow passed over them, they were instantly healed by the power of God. Hallelujah. His face was shining as the brightness of the sun. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel the power of God. I feel that wheel in the middle of the wheel. Hallelujah. So the book was open. Amen. The life of Christ was open to the church. There's no limitation on the life of Christ tonight. It's going to come into a people that they're going to be absolutely changed, living people. These mortal bodies are going to drop off. Hallelujah. And you're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in this very generation age we're living in. Hallelujah. We're at the end time. Praise God. The book was open. The life of Christ was open. It was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. But the church began to do like we do. The Bible says they began to lose the first love. Revelation on the first church age. Revelation 2, starting down through the first few verses on the early age, Ephesus church age. They lost the first love. And they began to lose that. And finally it went into the church age and they lost, the book was sealed up. See, the life was sealed away. And they lived on a survival message. They took their journey into the wilderness. You can type it out there when the children of Israel came across the land, came across to go in and possess the land under Moses. Moses sent the spies out, 12 of them, and they came back saying, "We can't take the land. We look like grasshoppers in those people's eyes. They're giants, and we look like grass." And they began to mourn, cry, and say, "We can't take the land." But thank God there was two there that had a different type of spirit. Hallelujah. Joshua and Caleb said, "We are more. We're not just able to take the land. We're more than able." Amen. But the other went in and spread unbelief among the people. And then they said, "We can't go. You brought us out here to kill us." And the Bible says when they did that and they sinned against God, saying, "Can God?" that they turned. God said, "Go back in the wilderness. Take them back." And the Bible says they turned and went into the wilderness. And they turned and went into the wilderness, and they were there 40 long years, going around and around a mountain, eating manna that would fall every day. And the manna that they were eating would breed worms after the first day. Amen. They didn't have the old corn of the land. Hallelujah. And then after 40 years, God brought them out. And Solomon saw it. He said, "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's a church. We're coming out of the wilderness. We're leaning on our beloved. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And we have the open book, the open invitation. Come unto Him. Amen. And all you that labor and heavy laden, He'll give you rest. He'll give you that power. He'll give you that peace. Hallelujah. He's a restoring God. There's 2,000 years between putting one foot on the sea and the other on the earth. During that 2,000-year period, the book got sealed away. Amen. It was in the hand of Him that sat on the throne and was not available to the church. Amen. Till He comes and brings it back in this last days and give it to the church again and say, "Take and eat." And that's the hour we're living in. Jesus Christ is in the earth today. Hallelujah. The same one that was in that early church. And there is no limitation on the bride. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All things are possible. The only thing we got to do is look. I noticed these new headlights. They're supposed to see right through the fog, you know. And I'll tell you, God, give us some new eyes that we can see right through the cloud and see Him, amen, whose face is shining like the sun. Praise God. It's Jesus, the same Jesus that was in the early church. He's no different in this church. He can still heal, deliver, and set free. Amen. Our Jesus, His face is shining as the brightness of the sun. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Amen. But the church lost grip on it, see. The church lost grip on it. It's our hardness of heart and our unbelief and our arrogance towards what God's doing. See, we've lost it, folks. And we might as well admit it and come back and get a grip on it. Jesus Christ is real. He's worth living for. And He's the only thing worth living for. And the power of God's real. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And without Him, you would be lost as a feather in the wind. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we got to let Him shine. Amen. I think there's where some of the ministers make mistakes. And God forbid that I would speak against a minister, because that's something that I wouldn't want to be guilty of doing. But some ministers seem like they want to do the shining. See? And they want to be the one that gets the attention. Well, all my attention, all my focus, all my affection is to the Lord Jesus Christ that lives within my heart, that have helped me many times. Our God is a God that can turn wheels that's been rusty for a long time. How many knows it? Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Well, Revelation chapter 10 shows Him again with His face as the sun. Just like in the early church. Hallelujah. Well, so we got that verse now. It's foot on land and sea. So let's get down here on verse. That was verse 2, 1 and 2. This is back in Revelation 10. when he put one foot on land and sea, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Amen. Now we're getting over here towards the beginning of the church age. Amen. And it says here the next verse, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, we're in 96 A.D., I was about to write, watch, and I heard a voice, not the voice of Jesus Christ, not the voice of the Holy Ghost, but there was an authorizing voice from the Almighty. See, Almighty God, Eternal Spirit that's everywhere present at the same time. The one that looks after this and control. There was an authorizing voice spoke. And I believe there's an authorizing voice speaking, amen, about this, even me, this meeting here. I believe we're authorized to be here. Amen, and that makes a difference, see. When God authorized something, it happened, just like the sun. It rises and sets. Nothing can change it, nothing stop. And no condition on the earth can affect the sun. It's about 93 million miles away. We can have our clouds, our rain, our storm, and all that, but the sun is authorized of God to keep on shining. They say it's been doing about 60 million years. We don't know. Nobody knows for sure. Amen, but that don't matter. God authorized it. He set it in, and it can't do anything but what God ordained it to do. Amen. So God's authorizing voice spoke from heaven. When the church began to get off course, they began to lose their first love. There was an authorizing voice that said, take the boat now and seal it away. Now let's just see here. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, this 96, John heard them, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. That was the voice of authorization. Now the same voice that has spoke, speaks again. Amen. Now some people are saying that the thunders are yet to sound. And it's even said among some that there's going to be seven men come out and they're going to be the seven thunders and they're yet to sound. Well, if they're yet to sound, they're yet to be sealed. Now notice this very carefully. Don't miss it. If the thunders are yet to sound, they're yet to be sealed. Because when the thunder sound, John was about to write and the voice said, seal them up. And don't write them. Now, if they're yet to sound, they're yet to be sealed. I want to forgive me for being repetitious, but I feel led to press that point just a bit here, if you'll bear with me in it. But when the seventh thunder uttered, John in 96 A.D. was about to write what was said. But it was said, seal up that which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. So in 96 A.D. it was all sealed up and wrapped up. And let's see how many seals it was. Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. Seal up that which the seven thunders uttered. Now notice that. I was getting verse 3 again. He cried with a loud voice when the lion roared. Amen. He'd done been here doing that in the early church. And here he is in the last days. This has two parts. Foot on land and on sea. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices, and when the seven thunders, notice not six, not five, seven, how many seals are? Seven seals. When the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard an authorizing voice, a voice from heaven. And everything, it has to be that way because God spoke. It can't be no other way. When the church went into the dark ages, it was noticed in the parable of Matthew's 13th chapter relating to the kingdom of heaven. At first, good seed was the only thing in the field. But then, while men slept, the Bible says, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. And when it was noticed that there was tares, the servant says, shall we pluck them up? And the command came, the voice that authorized it said, no. Leave them alone. Let them grow together until the end time. And that's the way it was. That's the same thing with these seven seals. God says, The authorizing voice spoke from heaven and said, seal up what the thunder said in 96 A.D. Amen. And it authorized for seven church ages. The church went through seven church ages. They had a, therefore, there were seven angels, seven messengers, one to each church age. Seven spiritual angels used a natural man. There was a star and an angel. And it played out for seven church ages, and they had a survival message. Luther came with a just shall live by faith. They survived on it. That was manna for their day. Amen. Just like the children of Israel, when they were going through the wilderness, they had manna, and there was something built within that manna. And listen closely. There was something built within that manna when God created it and made it, that after one day, it would breed worms. It would rot. It would stink after one day, because there was another batch to fall the next day. And some tried to save it up for 2 days. It would only breed worm. Each message that has come forth, there's something built in each message that will cause it to breed worms, and the saints would have to go on to the next message. Luther preached the just shall live by faith, but he also preached the Trinity. But I'll tell you, that was them worms putting that message. It caused it to self-destruct. It made a denomination, and it's still here today, but it has not the life of God in it. Each message that came before and thereafter during the seven church age, God built within each of those messengers' message something to cause it to self-destruct, because there was a message coming. There was another message coming. Amen. Even the seventh church age messenger, Brother William Branham. Amen. He came and preached the Word of God, but he put things in there that caused it to self-destruct, so that we'll have to take our next step. We, as children, don't like to take the next step. We don't like to grow in pains that we go through. But Brother Brown, he would say in there something like this, the Word don't come to nobody but a prophet. And God only has one prophet on the scene at one time. Please show me in the Bible, New Testament, where you get that. Yet there are millions of followers that preach the Word don't come to nobody but a prophet. God only has one man on the scene at once. Well, how about the 12 apostles of Israel? How about Paul and the ministry there? And there was Agabus, Judas, and Silas, three New Testament prophets in the book of Acts. So there comes a message to cause that to self-destruct, to make room, because God's pushing back the frontier. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? It was manna, and there was something in it caused it to breed worms and self-destruct. You and I's got to rise up to our feet and move on. Because if you don't move on, you will self-destruct with it. You will become a denomination, unnamed denomination, and be just as bad as any of the other. Because that manna, it did like the rest. Self-destruct. And God ordained it thus. Amen? But there's going to be an army rise to their feet and say, I read in Ephesians chapter 4, where for the perfecting of the saints, God gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And He gives the 9 spiritual gifts to bless and edify the body. And He puts them in the church, and the church roll on. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's where your thunders and seals and all that fits right in there. So. Amen. Now watch as he the authorizing voice speaks. And he says, seal up the thunders with 7 seals. Then please tell me, How it could be that the 7 thunders haven't sent. Then if it's not, we've probably got 2,000 or 3,000 years for a church age or something. If they haven't sent. Because once they sound, they've got to be sealed. Don't miss it now. Once they sound, they've got to be sealed. And they were in 96 A.D. when God's authorizing voice spoke. But it played out through 7 church ages with 7 messengers.
Therefore, in this last church age before the kingdom of heaven age, that was Brother Ryan's out in Arizona, seven angels came. And they were sent from the presence of God. He went back to Jeffersonville, Indiana, and preached the seven seals. That was unsealing exactly what them thunder said in John's day. Hallelujah. Each night one of those angels came and revealed what the seal was. And now it's cleared up. That page of history is turned. And now we turn into a New Testament. Hallelujah. And everything that's promised in the New Testament is that laying at our fingertips. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The healing, the blessings, the power, the joy, the love. Amen. It's all for us. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Let me read. I'm going to sign off in just a little. Let's see. How long have we been? I don't know why your customs are here, but I know this. When we get our cup kind of full, if we keep running it over, we're just spilling. And this is too good to spill, ain't it? So what we can do, we can come back again tomorrow night and continue. And these things are real, they're good, they're sweet, they're wonderful. Amen. That's what I live for. Amen. You take it, and tell me to take me out on the streets. I'm going to sit down. I'll just wander aimlessly till I die, till He comes, or whatever. Because I've got no purpose. But with this, I've got a purpose. Amen. There's a purpose for me. And if you've got a life without a purpose, your life's not very good. You're living a dull life. But if you've got a purpose, you've got the joy, and you're eating this honey from the little book, it gives you purpose, it gives you strength, it gives you energy, it gives you vision, it gives you that goal. It makes life worth living. It makes everything worthwhile. Woo! I tell you, don't know if I can run back there like I used to. Well, Brother Pete back here, one time he come down to my church. The Word of God was going forth. He got running the benches out. I thought, I hope he don't fall and break his neck. Amen. A long time ago, Brother Pete, he had a dream that there was a big mother hen eagle. And she cried down south and says, he looked around and there was little eaglets all around, raising their head, hearing a sound. Oh, praise God, there's a sound going forth. And there's a people through the internet and all over the world hearing a sound, waking up. Amen. Coming to the Word. Amen. Now, one of these days, if the Lord don't come soon, I will no doubt take my exit out of this, off this road of life. Amen. I'm not saying I'm going 2 weeks or 2 years or whatever. I don't know. Amen. But as long as I'm here, I got a purpose. I got an aim. I got something to do. Just strengthen me, Lord. Your servants reporting for duty. Strengthen us. And Lord, help us all the folks that's gathered here tonight, say, let's go on out and take the land. Let's be a church that the Lord can smile upon and look at and say, these are mine. These are mine. These are the one that's in the book of remembrance that I've made. Amen. Glory to God. And we don't say, well, I'm going to follow this preacher and ain't going to listen to nothing nobody says but that preacher. Well, that's the we need to follow a preacher because God sent them there to lead us. But I'll tell you one thing. We always want to let that preacher be in the background. Let him be a shadow. But let that Christ stand right out there in his face shining. Amen. We'll walk with that. Hallelujah. If there is an apostle, which I believe there is, it'll make itself known and it won't be somebody blowing a horn saying, I'm an apostle, I'm this or that, the other. It'll be a message go forth and it'll reach out and catch the people. Amen. And the people that hears it, they'll know something about a saint. That this thing sound right to me. Amen. God's getting something together here. He's bringing something together that man can't bring together. He's bringing the people together from all over the world. There are people in Kentucky wanted to be here so bad, but other circumstances kept them. Just wanted to come and fellowship with you folks. And then Sister Sturgeon, them all the way from over there in New Tazewell, Tennessee, somewhere over in that. Amen. Here, wanting to fellowship with us, wanting to be in the meeting, wanting to hear this word, just wanting to be with you, see you strengthen. Brother Park, you strengthen me. When you smile, when I'm ministering that word of God and getting out on the limb a little bit and you looked at me and you look at me and smile, it strengthened me. Amen. See, that's what I'm doing. I'm drawing strength from you. Because you're Christ. You're the body of Christ. And that's where my strength and energy come from, the body of Christ. Amen. But I want you to know it's the voice spoke and authorized something. And that was authorized the sealing up of what the thunder said 2,000 years ago. And you get the sealed book in Revelation chapter 6. And there's an interpreted book you can have free of charge. It opened itself up in 2,000 years it takes to do that. The virtual white horse rider went for. That's that early awakening Christ getting there trying to disguise himself. Then the red horse tried to kill the saints out. Then the black horse plunged the world in the dark ages. And then so on down the line like that. Till here we are back again. We're back home. I was over in Africa, went back there in a little place where dust blowing. Brother Sam saw the video. All that dust and birds fly. And the brother dismissing that duck was keeping up with them or something. Quack, quack, quack. Out in open air meeting, you know. Amen. I said, praise God. They say you can't come back home, but I'm back home. Hallelujah. They stood to their feet and as the word go forth, they'd raise up and high-five each other. Amen. They saw something with some life in it. They've had people follow Brother Brown and come over. And God knows I believe that prophet and some of the greatest people there are. But they won't just go read spoken word books and so on. They won't see some life. Show me Christ. Show me some life. Show me that face shine like the sun. Verse 5, and the angel which I saw upon the sea and upon the earth, notice each place, upon the sea and upon the earth, he don't want us to miss that, lift his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever who created. Now I want you to watch, not Jesus, not the Holy Ghost. Not Jesus, not the Holy Ghost. They're all wound up in one, say, one God. But here's the sex of God Himself Almighty. The Eternal Spirit everywhere present at the same time. He spoke. Amen. And then the mighty angel raised his hand and swore to him. Now, when God made a covenant to Abraham, I want to ask you this. When God made a covenant with Abraham, read who did he swear to? He swore to himself because there's none no greater. When Jesus here, he said, my Father's greater than I. He's greater than all. So here, Jesus, as the mighty angel, in this part, the office work here, raised his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever. And the verse says, Who created the heaven and things therein are, and the earth, and the things which are therein, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time. There should be time no longer. Meaning that age has come to a close. That where those things were sealed up. Time's no more. And watch what he said. He reached back and showed. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God, not mysteries, there's a singular mystery dealing with the church. The mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophet. In other words, when the seventh angel comes down, that ends this period. The ends the period where the book are sealed up and sealed away. Now the angels came and they opened what was sealed away in 96 A.D. And then there's a great authorizing voice. I don't want to get on my morning night service here because I tell you, I'm just so excited here and anointed that I have to use some common sense. To say, I need to stop here. Whoa, Ben. Okay, so I'll say it. Whoa, Ben. When I was over in Africa preaching, I said, whoa. They said, what? I said, stop. Because there's certain words they don't know what mean. Amen, but whoa, Ben. Let's don't get on the on any further. But there is another authorizing voice. Now, if you'll start with verse 8 through 11... you'll find that same authorizing voice authorized something else.
And it will be, it shall be, and it is. Oh, ha-da-da-bo-ko-da-bo-shan-da-da-da-bo-ta. Ooh, I hope it's legal to speak in tongues. Because I'm about to. Amen. I believe in Paul's. I thank God I talk in tongues more than you all. Amen. Woo! I better contain myself. Amen. But this thing, I'll tell you, there's still some wine in the wine bottle. How many know that? The old wine, they put it in old skins, it bursts, but God's gives a new wine, it's got to fit in new skin. Amen. How many know that? You put this new wine in old skins, it'll split them. How many knows it? Woo! But there has to be flexibility, because that wine works out and moves and all that. Hallelujah. We used to sing a little song way back when I was just a kid, going to a congregation of Holiness Church. And back in those days, I loved that congregation of Holiness Church because they tutored me, kept me, helped me along. And my pastor, I'm going to say this in closing. I got to close. About the only thing I could say when I was preaching, I'd jump up and squeal and holler and click my heels together, and God's good, hallelujah, ain't God good, and run up down the aisle and get the people shouting. So one night I did that, and everybody's shouting and all. I asked my pastor, Brother Harold Pettit, who's gone on to be with the Lord. We were friends all the way through till he left the scene. I said, Brother Harold, how'd that do tonight, brother? I was expecting him to say, buddy, you done a fine job. He said, well, said you had a lot of noise, but not much substance. Woo! It was like sticking a can in a balloon. So I said, I better start studying. Amen. So I believe there's still some substance for us, don't you? I believe that one that stands up, that his face shine like the sun, that shine like the sun for the early church, his face still shine like the sun. Whew. I'm going to sit down. Amen. God bless you tonight. I love you. I appreciate you. And thank you for listening, giving me your attention. And while I'm here the next few days, I'm here to be a servant to God's people. Any way I can be of any help to anybody. Amen. I'm His servant, and if I'm His servant, I'm your servant. Amen. So make use of me if you need something done. I know you ain't going to ask me to hold your potatoes because there ain't none this time. Too early for them, so I can say it. Brother. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Have you enjoyed that?
Oh, yeah. I know. Thank you, Brother Hill. Amen.
I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to dismiss the service as maybe we have a grand dismissal. But I ask Mr. Barry to come up, if you will. And Beth Hurd.
Yeah. Amen. 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 We can enjoy this thing.
Amen. How many appreciate the word tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Sister Mary, come on up, will you? I'd love to hear her sing.
Amen.
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 And while she's singing, whenever she gets moved, fellowship among, shake hands.
Amen.
If you can, come back tomorrow night and look for a great time of the Lord. And before she sings, let me say this. Brother Ben mentioned the interpretation book of Revelation.
Yeah.
I still have some back there if anyone would like a copy of that book. They're back there underneath that table there. Just help yourself if you want one.
Hallelujah. Amen.